Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Yeah, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It's Monday, June 26, 2023. Thanks for bearing with us. We have some technical issues with our video. Hang with us because this is going to be one of the most important programs you're going to hear. I just want to start off by just telling you right now, we are watching some very tightly scripted theater take place. The unraveling as well, an unraveling, shall I say, of official narratives, of things that, just of a number of stories that are coming undone. Things people thought were true that aren't true. We're seeing it take place right now. We're seeing layers of psyops take place right now. I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me. Please do me a favor, in spite of the technical difficulties, or maybe because of them, do me a favor, go to Rumble and or Brighteon, and please just subscribe to the Hagman Report on Rumble and or Brighteon. Do that. It raises our visibility. The more subscribers you have, obviously, doesn't mean you've got to watch every single one. You just subscribe. Also, bookmark HagmanPI.com. And by the way, on Rumble and or Brighteon, they do have like a like or a thumbs up or I like this broadcast type thing. And you can click on that. All right. As well, I think that even a follow button on Brighteon, if I'm not mistaken, but nonetheless. All right. So a lot of things happened since we last spoke. This is why, just to give you an example of this coup, this armed insurrection that we saw in Russia over the weekend. I sent out a Galileo. I only send out alerts when really important. Okay. Yes. Did it happen? Yes. But 99.9% of the people that you see on the evening news, I will say, have no idea of what's going on the ground, what's going on in general. And if they do, they're not telling you all the truth or even some of the truth. I spent this weekend talking with a number of people who know, who are connected with people who monitor these things 24/7. And what I found out, what I learned, I'm going to pass along to you today, but what I learned was some of it's been said, some of it's been said on the on open source. Other things have not, but I want to give you some information I think that you could take and run with this. Now, even though this is audio only, well, even though we have no video for you, moving video for you, that is, we have the audio from the videos I was going to play today. By the way, this should be fixed up here in a day or two. Don't forget this week, we've got Jack Cashel coming in a studio, live and in person, talking about his new book. And also Susan Daniels, a PI, and talking about a book that she wrote as well. It has to do with something that actually I did not, I was involved with in terms on the investigative side, back in the 80s with people who were responsible for the murder of the murderer of her husband. So it should be a very interesting week. That's to be certain. On Zero Hedge, I just want to say this opening up here. There was an article And I won't have Eric bring this up or anything like that. I just want to cite from this article because I when I read this, it resonated with me. And I want this, hopefully it resonates with you too, because this summarizes, I think, where we're at and can be applied to what we saw this weekend, what we saw this last week, and really what we've seen since 2020 and before. And I believe what we're going to be seeing more of, more to come. Those people who believe, and I'll say this before I get into the article, those people who believe that they know for sure, or they know I'm certain who's going to be on the ticket in 2024, you might want to think again. Because I do think that we're in for some surprises if we make it to 2024 voting-wise. I think we have some surprises coming our way. I think we've got some revelations that are going to be forced revelations. Follow me on this, please. These revelations will be forced. Why? Because it's out there. You know, one of my favorite, oh my goodness, I don't know how many, you know what, if you know of which, that of which I speak, leave a comment for me on Rumble. I'll go to Rumble specifically and Brighton too, but leave a comment for me. Back in the early 2000s and into the teens, remember the Jesse Stone cop series, Tom Selleck as Jesse Stone, based on a novel? Suitcase. You know who I'm talking about. Those who know what I'm talking about by now know who I'm. Suitcase. The information's out there. You just have to let it in. And that's kind of where we're at right now. The information's out there. You have to kind of let it in. Also, Reggie the dog, my favorite actor. You know who I'm talking about. All right. But the citing Zero Hedge, one of the Durdens, one of the many, Tyler Durdens wrote, over the last several weeks and months, a deluge of damning breadcrumbs have been revealed by various whistleblowers, congressional investigators, and investigative reporters, the entirety of which has been a shotgun blast of information overload. Boy, isn't that true? But that's been happening every single day and week, which is why, as opposed to watching cable news, or the knee pad media, as I once referred to them, I would have to say, find a show or two you like and listen to them, because, man, doing the triage on this is time-consuming, but even more so, getting it right is important. Writes Zero Hedge, when put together, they paint a picture of such shocking corruption that one can only conclude that the period we've lived through, that's being between the 2020 U.S. election, the funding origins, and the cover-up of the SARS-CoV-2-19, COVID-19 pandemic, the overt corruption of the Biden family, one can only conclude that we're living through one of the worst, if not the worst, periods of political scandals and institutional rot in American history. Boy, you can drop the mic and walk from that right now. Making sense of the current state of affairs is journalist Tom Elliott, founder of Grabian, who has assembled what might be the world's most perfect tweet on how Joe Biden owes his 2020 victory, election victory, that is, to blatant political corruption. Now, I use this as a source document, as a template from which everything else will make sense, at least in my view. After reading this and thinking about this, from here we can make sense. The more we learn about the 2020 election, and this I would add, the more we learn about anything, whether it's the armed insurrection in Russia, or who really controls the interest rates, the banks, who really controls the White House, who really controls this or that. But see, the more we learn, in this case about the 2020 election, the more undeniable it becomes that Biden owes his, quote, victory, end quote, to blatant political corruption. For example, an IRS probe into the Biden's money laundering payments from hostile nations, the normal outcome of which would have ended his candidacy, should have, I might add, ended his candidacy, was instead given a stand-down order. You follow me on that? The IRS was told to stand down on this. We just found that out. That's been verified, confirmed. The FBI and IRS wanted to search Biden's house in September of 2020, but they were given a stand-down order. Think about that. President Trump, they walk in and, take Melania's dresses off the racks and walk around pretending to be Cinderella. The FBI people. And yet, they were given a stand-down order when they wanted to do the same to Biden's residence in September of 2020. Who gave that stand-down order? How about Merrick Garland, who should be not just impeached but criminally charged? The FBI authenticated Hunter's laptop a year before the New York Post first reported on its contents, and I had it at the same time, roughly, Miranda Devine had it from the New York Post. Both copies, the one with and then the one without the natties, shall we say. Rather than use the laptop's voluminous documentation, and believe me, if you go to Marco Polo, search Marco Polo with a laptop, you'll get to the website that's got all of the information, or you can actually buy a book that has got it in perfect bound. Yeah. Rather than use that documentation of such felonies to initiate criminal investigations, the FBI hatched a plot to warn social media companies of an imminent hack and leak operation of what they heavily suggested was Russian disinformation. What a bunch of crap that was. And we know it was crap. It was crap from the very people that the 50 plus one former leaders, selected officials, intelligence community people. They lied to you, to your face. The FBI used its 2016 Russian collusion probe, which the Durham probe. Oh, I'm so overwhelmed with the Durham probe. More on that too. Which the Durham probe has since proven was essentially an extension of the Clinton campaign. That they did. The Durham probe did conclude that the hoax, as it was in fact part and parcel by the parcel out by the Clinton campaign, paid for by Hillary, executed by Mark Elias of Perkins Coie. Now, this is my, of course, my additions and op-ed to this article. To rationalize its meddling in the 2020 election. That's why they did it. Now, they did it for greed, for avarice, for payback, but they did it for reasons, in my view, that were ideologically driven. Because we have been infiltrated by communists in this country. The FBI also conducted an influence operation with various reporters at major newspapers to convince them. Well, they did not need that much convincing because, again, the media is not on our side. The media, they're communists. They're beholden to the God of the New World Order, which is Lucifer, the Satan. You know this. Uh, to convince them that forthcoming damaging reporting about Biden that they knew was true was in fact not. No, it's not true. And how many times have you seen the same reports by different stations, different people repeating the same phrases over and over and over again? Folks, we are a captured operation. We have been captured. The FBI also conducted an influence operation with various reporters at major newspapers. In other words, the influence operation, these reporters were part of it. They weren't. Look, it did. Oh my gosh. It didn't take the FBI to much convincing when you're part and parcel to it. Hey, Eric the Tech, let's go. Let me go buy you lunch. How much convincing would that take?
None.
I didn't think so. Eric Tech's working hard behind the scenes to get a video restored. Don't worry, it'll be back. Maybe. If we want it. The FBI was spying on Rudy Giuliani when he shared the laptop contents with the New York Post. And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you right now. No, I can't say that. All right. Yeah, I can. Screw it. So are we. All right. When the FBI told Twitter and Facebook a Russian disinformation campaign was coming, they had already concluded Russia wasn't trying to game the election. The FBI knew when they went to Twitter, they knew that they were lying to them. And in their attempt to corroborate their own rumor of Russian electoral interference, the FBI became aggressive with its demands for user data from Twitter, eventually getting shut down for seeking users' private info without a warrant. That's one thing that did come out in the Durham investigation as well. But you look back in the preceding years, the FBI established a beachhead inside Twitter, as they have with all of the social media companies, as they have with every radio station, television station, the knee pad media. I think I'm going to start calling them that again, the corporate media. With an operations center of former agents who communicated via their own dedicated Slack channel. These ex-agents included Jim Baker, the FBI's former top counsel who played a central role in the FBI's Trump-Russia scam, as well as Comey's former chief of staff, Don, that's D-A-W-N, Burton. Don Burton? Don Burton, are you listening? Who started the FBI's Russia collusion probe? Let's name names. Don, D-A-W-N, Burton. Comey's former chief of staff. Yes, you, Don. I'm talking to you. The CIA, in collusion with the Biden campaign, seeded disinformation, claiming the laptop was Russian disinformation. The CIA, oh, you come into play here momentarily in something totally different. Anyway, the FBI also arranged a meeting with Senators Grassley and Johnson about supposed Russian disinformation and Hunter Biden. The FBI then used this briefing with the senators to justify quashing their own agents' probe into the Biden's corruption. And when the story broke mere weeks before the election, one that polling later indicated would have altered enough Democrat votes to send Trump to a second term. That's even without the cheating, or even in addition to, or despite, whatever the word might be there, the cheating. Twitter and Facebook orchestrated this unprecedented and anti-democratic mass censorship campaign, and shame on Twitter and Facebook. Zuckerberg, you should be hung, in my opinion, you should be hung for treason and left for dead until the birds peck every last inch of your flesh off your body. And the same people with Google and Facebook, well, I mentioned Facebook and all of the other social media platforms at the time. Folks, read this. I'm not going to go through the entire thing. One more thing, because this will segue nicely. You know, at the time Trump was being impeached for asking Ukraine to investigate Biden's alleged corruption in Ukraine, the FBI, the IRS, they already knew the Bidens had laundered more than $10 million from Burisma via fake companies and dozens of bank accounts, while at the same time VP Biden had used U.S. aid as leverage in getting the Ukrainian prosecutor investigating Burisma fired. Biden bragged about it, at least when he had one working brain cell. You remember this? The Zero Hedge article closes by saying, and that's to say nothing of the Democrats orchestrating a state-by-state campaign to change voting rules to enable the widespread adoption of voting boxes. Hey, let's put a box here and there and, oh, make it illegal to even take a picture or to question, you know, 2,000 mules. Oh, that's fake news. No, it's not. And let me just say this on this Mad Monday. It's going to happen again. It happened in 2022. You were looking for a different result, and we told you it was going to happen again. It's going to happen in 2024. But in 2024, there's going to be a twist. Here's the twist. I'm going to tell you right now. You know who's looking really, really hard, pun intended, at entering the race? And might even be, I don't know, 8 or 9 inches away from making an announcement? Well, Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satoru pretends it's a microphone. Yeah. Michael. Hey, Mike. Hey, Big Mike. You watch. The voters are sick and tired of Hillary. The left is so convinced that their darling Michael Obama is the bomb. You got Gavin Newsom in there as well. But I'm going to tell you who's not going to be there. And that's the old guy right now stuttering and stammering and moping and running into walls and pretending he's, I don't know, Chef Boyardee. He ain't going to be there. And cackling Kamala is going to have to go too. Not sure exactly how that's going to work out, but I'm going to tell you right now, they're working on it day and night. I've gotten phone calls. I've gotten emails. I've talked to people who are saying, look, man, they are working right now. And had it not been for certain elements that took place, including but not limited to the Brunson case back in November, Pelosi would be sitting in the White House right now. And you could say, oh, that's just BS. But no, nah, I'm telling you. But see, they can't run with Joe. So they're going to have to get rid of, and mark my words right now, they're going to have to get rid of Joe and Kamala, the package deal. I was going to say joined at the, but I'm not going to. And if you think Donald Trump is going to be the second time going through the White House doors, they're not going to let that happen. It's not, they're not. I don't know. Are you like crazy busy? Eric the Tech, do you think, now look, if I bet you $100 right now, if Trump walks through the, if he wins the 2024 election, no, I'll make it even better. Not that I've got it, but let's say there was $1,000 on the table. I put $1,000 on the table. And I say, if Donald Trump walks through the White House doors elected as president in 2024, that $1,000 is yours. And you would have to put up the same amount of money. Would you take that bet?
No.
Even Eric the Tech knows. Not that he wouldn't, but he knows. Okay. So why did I start there? Because if you haven't seen what the hell has been going on for the last 2 years, moving forward is not going to change you. Now, going to go through this very quickly. What the heck happened over the weekend with the Wagner Group? Let's make the pronunciations correct. The Wagner Group, otherwise known as Wagner, but the Wagner Group. And of course, Prigozhin, the leader of the Wagner Group. Have we seen any of this before? Let's take a walk short, even very brief, down memory lane. We're going to go to what would have been video one. In the show notes, it'll be video one, HagmanPI.com, under this episode description. And you can listen to it, not watch it, but listen to it. Really nothing to see. This is on September 10th. 2001, and the person speaking is Donald Rumsfeld at the Pentagon. Go ahead, sir, when you're ready.
And the fact that they can fail and die is what provides the incentive to survive. But governments can't die. So we need to find other incentives for bureaucracy to adapt and improve. The technology revolution has transformed organizations across the private sector, but not ours, not fully, not yet. We are, as they say, tangled in our anchor chain. Our financial systems are decades old. According to some estimates, we cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions. We cannot share information from floor to floor in this building because it's stored on dozens of different technological systems that are inaccessible or incompatible.
You know, I love that. Tangled in our anchor chain, as they say. I remember going before a judge and watching an attorney use these trite phrases, and the judge looking at the attorney and saying, stop it. Just stop it. Don't do that. Don't use those cutesy phrases in my courtroom. Stop it. And I'd say the same thing. Of course, that's when he said, whoops, we're not sure, exactly sure where this $2.3 trillion went. Now, there will be people who will argue that fact, say, no, it really wasn't missing. It was just an accounting error. There will be people that will say things that they've got no clue. Let's go to video number two. Next, this is a little more recent. And when you start to think about it, did you know what? Maybe we found what was termed the latest Pentagon accounting error. And I'll tell you where we found it. This is a minute 15. This is a recent. By recent, I'm talking within the last few months. Announcement at the Pentagon. Here it is. Video 2.
Oddly. Following up from some announcements earlier this year, during the department's regular oversight of our execution of presidential drawdown authority for Ukraine, we discovered inconsistencies in equipment valuation for Ukraine. In a significant number of cases, services used replacement costs rather than net book value, thereby overestimating the value of the equipment drawn down from U.S. stocks and provided to Ukraine. Once we discovered this misvaluation, the comptroller reissued guidance on March 31st, clarifying how to value equipment in line with the financial management regulation and DoD policy to ensure we use the most accurate of accounting methods. We have confirmed that for FY23, the final calculation is $3.6 billion, and for FY22, it is $2.6 billion for a combined total of $6.2 billion. These valuation errors in no way limit or restricted the size of any of our PDAs or impacted the provision of support to Ukraine. And while the DoD retains the authority to utilize the recaptured PDA,
enough, okay? Because whatever comes after that's just a bunch of BS excuses. In other words, the Pentagon is saying, "Look, you know what? We got an accounting error. We might have actually given Ukraine $6.2 billion over the course of really the end of last and the beginning of this fiscal year combined." Instead of what we told you, whoops, we're sorry, but we're fixing it. Let me check. Has there been a missile that hit that part of the Pentagon yet? No? Okay. All right. I just checking. No, because they're really not looking for it. I wonder... Do you think perhaps that this was laundered through Ukraine to subsidize perhaps the Wagner group? Could it be? Inquiring minds just want to know. All right. Could be. Maybe not. Okay, now. Napolitano, Judge Napolitano, you know. Okay, now, there are things I really don't like about Judge Napolitano. There are things I do. It's kind of like when you have a witness in court, all right? You got to take what you get sometimes. You got to work with what you got. If you got a real, person who witnesses something or is a part of something, you still have to deal with that, right? You know, just because they're somewhere else doesn't mean that they're shining you on here. Doesn't? No, not necessarily. Which is why I made this exception. I held my nose and decided to grab, this is video 3, Napolitano with none other than Scott Ritter. Now look, I've had a run-in with Scott Ritter. In full disclosure, Catholic Family Radio, early 2000s. Also, when I did work in New York, had a run-in with him as well. You see, Scott Ritter, the former weapons inspector for the United Nations, he exchanged explicit online messages with a detective posing as a 15-year-old girl. And then what he did was, He pulled that Jeffrey Toobin except he knew what he was doing. He performed a sex act on himself in front of a webcam. Yeah. He was taken into custody. He was sentenced to 18 to 66 months behind bars. It was the second time in 10 years that Ritter found himself in legal trouble. Ritter is registered as a sex offender under Pennsylvania's version of Megan's Law. But even before that, and this is kind of where I kind of came into the picture. Now, Ritter is a vocal critic of the invasion of Iraq. He's not wrong, right? He's not wrong. He wrote like three articles for the Huffington Post. Again, you got to hold your nose sometimes if you're not wrong. He was an intelligence officer in the Marine Corps and then a weapons inspector for the UN. If you know what you're talking about, even though you've done some naughties elsewhere, sometimes you've got to say, okay, let's put that aside for a second and let's hear what you have to say about what you're really an expert in, as opposed to pleasuring yourself with underage children. All right. But in full disclosure, I personally don't like the guy. Okay? I wouldn't have him on my show. I don't like him. But what about what he says? What about what he's saying? Is there any value to that? Again, sometimes you just have to go with what you got. Now let's play video three.
2 days ago, the Ukrainian intelligence service, they had a series of covert cells that were being positioned in Moscow, were uncovered by the FSB, Russian security, and rounded up. It appears that these cells were supposed to be in place in Moscow so that as Prigozhin began to move towards Moscow, they would carry out a series of attacks, explosions, terrorist events that would terrorize the Russian people, reinforce the notion that Putin was an ineffective leader, and therefore people of Moscow would welcome Wagner with open arms. This is a concerted effort between Wagner, the Ukrainian intelligence service, and their Western sponsors, in particular the British, to achieve what they've always been looking for, which is what they call a Moscow Maidan moment. Kudos to them. They recruited Prigozhin. There's no doubt in my mind that Yevgeny Prigozhin is working on behalf of foreign intelligence services, carrying out their tasks, and that task is to collapse the government of Vladimir Putin. I personally believe that he won't succeed, but that's what's happening this morning.
Okay. All right, that was Scott Ritter. Do I agree with him there? Yeah, you know, I would certainly weigh what he's got to say a hell of a lot more than some unknown anon Q following, hey, trust the plan person on the internet or even someone with limited experience in the military, because this stuff is very compartmentalized. What I've been trying to do here by bringing out at least initially that Zero Hedge article, kind of recapping the last couple of years since the election, is letting you know that not only is there systemic rot, that's within the U.S., the rot is within people. The rot is within institutions, and the rot is everywhere. This rot of which I speak is really this satanic, and yes, I think I've pretty much proven this pedophilia style. People in charge of things, and oh, have I got a report to come out? When you see this report, check my Twitter feed at Hagman Report. Why did I put it on Twitter? Because I want it to be in their face. It's just what I did was I retweeted something. There were three parts to it, but I want it to be in their face. But here's how everything connects. I started out by talking about the elections. You had to get rid of Donald Trump. The deep state had to get rid of Donald Trump. They had to. Why? Because their timeline was all screwed up by him being in the White House, and they could not afford to be caught doing things that they would do under Hillary, what Hillary had planned. So they had to get rid of Donald Trump by any means necessary. And that included just dumping a bunch of ballots. And frankly, it's a lot less messy than the JFK route if you just use ballots instead of cartridges. The ballot box instead of a cartridge box. And I'm sure that the results would have been much different. But having said that, went back after that brief tour of the last 3 years or so, went back to 9/11 because the playbook hasn't changed. The people, the neocons, are still in D.C. The Rumsfeld, the PNAC document, think back to all of this. They're still there. Heck, you can go back to the Nazis, us bringing the Nazis after World War II. You can bring all that and tie that together. But let's go to something here. Let's go to Scott Bennett, not to be confused with Scott Ritter. Let's go to Scott Bennett. Alex Jones had Scott Bennett, who I have some much more respect for. And he's revealing Scott Bennett was a psyops expert. And he was talking about the truth of the failed Wagner coup. By the way, when you sit back and you think about it, is there any reasonable human being out there who would think that this BlackRock-like organization, BlackRock? Yeah, okay. With a very limited number of personnel, very limited munitions. But by the way, where are they depending upon getting the munitions and the hardware and stuff from? Ooh, that would be the Russians. Huh. How would that work? Who is really backing this? Now, understand, Prigozhin is a bazillionaire, right? Billionaire anyway. But still, it costs money. Things cost money. There's some logistics involved. But let's think this through, shall we? Watch the entire clip. I'm kind of going all the way, going into 18 minutes of this. But this, starting about minute 18:30, roughly, this involves certain things that, well, I want you to think about as we get closer to closing the show out. I want you to think about these things. Go ahead and hit the 18:30 mark at video 6.
In a sense, are done, Alex. You've said this wisely too, and quite prophetically. They have lost all of the momentum of people, and there's, you know, a lot of dumb people that think, oh, well, maybe it's nice to be a globe. Maybe it would be good. Now they're saying, no, it's not good. It's not nice. It's dead, deadly, toxic. Noah Harari and the rest of these fools and their vaccine agenda, which was exposed as originating in Ukraine and the biolabs that were there. I was part of the documentary that did it. All of that.
In fact, you were. Let's stop right there, because I saw you 2 years ago before this broke, harping on biolabs, and I tried to get you on then, and it broke down, but you're here now. How How big is it? Because remember, a year ago, they said you and everybody was lying. There was no biolabs. We had the Washington Post articles from 12 years ago, Biden opening them and celebrating it and saying they were doing it. And so they wanted to, but now they admit, okay, we got to stay there because Putin will get our biolabs. So tell people about those labs.
Putin's already got the biolabs. He's already got all the intelligence and the documents, and he's formulating legal cases that will charge these American and other interests with crimes against humanity. They know that. That's why they put it into the plot for the last James Bond movie, in fact, exactly what you had in Ukraine. And it's funny because the Death Factories documentary that we did happened, I think it was a year and a half before Russia went into Ukraine. So they've known about these biolabs a year and a half before they went into Ukraine in the special military operation. Biolabs were established by the United States under Barack Obama, Dick Lugar in 2007. They have grown exponentially ever Pause since. That. They were developing.
Did you hear what he just said? Doggone it, I can't believe that you've got this virtually unknown, unvetted junior senator from Illinois joining Dick Lugar to be a part of this disarmament delegation that involves Russia. It involves Ukraine back in 2004-2005-ish. You heard what he said, right? And their relationship with the Ukrainian biolabs, and it just becomes a thing now. When I say now, I'm talking about with the special military operation by Russia into Ukraine, and Russia knowing about the existence of these biolabs, creating DNA-specific weapons in Ukraine that involves none other than Barack Hussein Obama, and yes, members on the other side of the aisle at the time. How does that work into the picture with COVID-19, the lockdowns and such? And what are they really doing over in Ukraine? And was it just China? Ukraine as well? But go ahead and continue at your convenience.
Pathogens, diseases to weaponize, to send on aerosolized drones into Russia.
Even the Washington Post, just to interrupt you, Scott Bennett, even the Washington Post admits they're developing pathogens 40 times worse than COVID and gain of function. Imagine if Canada or Mexico had bioweapon labs on our borders, we would take it out instantly. So again, why would the West start a fight like this? It's crazy.
Well, your depopulation agenda from the mad lunatics that occupy some of these, Noah Harari, Klaus Schwab, George Soros, Bill Gates, bunch of pedophile raping Epstein Island devotees. They were behind a lot of this, and a lot of the legal documentation that I've seen. I've seen the Pentagon documents. I've seen the slides. I've seen the implications that the USAID, CIA, the Clinton, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, the Soros Organization, the Open Society Foundation, all of these big foundations that were globalists, Bill Gates's Project 201, the Russians have all of the documentation and the fingerprints and their participation in this and their funding this, as well as Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and a variety of other groups that were in Ukraine using all of this research to then send back to Fort Detrick that found its way in Wuhan. So all of this originated in Ukraine, and Russia has gone in and taken these 46 biolabs that were also targeting Russian DNA. They were developing weaponized pathogens to specifically strike the Russian DNA Slavic genetic code. And all of that has been covered up by the mainstream media. It was covered up by the United Nations because the United States, Britain, and France wouldn't allow an investigation into all of this material, of these documents.
And by the way, let me just interrupt you again. For those who don't know, race-specific bioweapons have been around for at least 60 years. Dick Cheney wrote a report for PNAC 24 years ago saying we should legitimize the use of race-specific bioweapons, and they admit quote, they were guarding against race-specific bioweapons at these BioShield labs in the U.S., Europe, Africa, all over, but, quote, covering up the illegal bioweapons labs under U.N. treaties by saying they're defensive, but they were making the pathogens. So that's talking about race-specific.
Hang on, brother. Alex, who was doing that, do you think? The USA, right? Right. Barack Hussein Obama? And who is at least mid-manager right now? Mid-management? Sorry for slurring that word. Yeah, Barack Hussein, Barry Sotaro, one line, married to Big Mike, pretend it's a popsicle, Obama. Go ahead.
Specific to people. This should be a death penalty offense to be making this stuff.
Well, you understand the different genetic structures of races, the black race, the genetic dispositions of the black race, or even the Hispanic races at different times. Their bodies and their physiological makeup has different reactions to sicknesses and vaccines, for example. Judy Mikovits talked about this extensively, where vaccines are given to black and Hispanics at a young age that causes enormous damage to their ability to resist certain sicknesses because of the different their different bodily growth and the hormonal changes. That was one example of how the exploitation of different genetic sequences and structures of physiology in blacks and Hispanics differ from Slavics or Scandinavians or Celtic or Germanic types. So the West, America specifically, was looking to target, what is the Slavic DNA defined as? What are Northern Russians in Moscow and St. Petersburg in the Finland area versus more of the Central Asian Russian areas? What are their different peculiarities? What are they resistant to? What are their vulnerabilities that we can exploit? And they were using that, and they killed a lot of Ukrainians in many of these experiments and stuff. That's why Yanukovych, the president, said, get these labs out of my country. And they overthrew him when he said that. He also said, I don't want the rainbow flag and the homosexual agenda in Ukraine. We're a Russian Christian Orthodox country. And the moment he said that, Barack Obama and his boyfriend, Michael Levon Robinson, also known as Michelle Obama, and the rest of the UN NATO lunatics, launched this great coup d'etat and overthrow of Yanukovych.
Well, let me interrupt you, Scott Bennett. Scott Bennett.
And there,
Scott
Bennett. I'm here. You're incredible. Go ahead.
Please join me again this week for a full hour, if you can, sir. I've got Pastor Rodney Howard Brown about to come in here in studio. We've got to switch things around and have him get ready to be with me. We've got other guest hosts coming up, Scott Ritter as well, from Russia, reporting on all this. Will you come back next segment and host the first 5 minutes of the hour? They'll just play the all music, right, say you're live.
That. Will you? And if you don't mind, cue that up at the beginning, because I cut out the first couple of minutes, but first couple of minutes kind of are key to really understanding what's going on. But what we've done right now, what's going on right now, is a very tightly choreographed play. What you're seeing is you cannot trust what your eyes are looking at. You certainly can't trust what you're hearing on the media. You certainly can't trust somebody with really no background in terms of information in the alternative media. You trust very few. And you really cannot trust moving forward anything, any, I don't want to say predictions, but I'll say predictions, any predictions of what's going to happen next. Because see, with this CIA coup attempt, think Nicaragua, think Cuba, think Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, various Middle Eastern countries, various African, Southern American countries. and the CIA, their involvement, Western intelligence involvement. Look, in this case, with the coup attempt in Russia, the UK, in conjunction with the US, but the UK specifically, with the US being the bag man, so to speak, at $6.2 billion, they attempted to create this Moscow Maidan moment, didn't they? Did it work? I don't think so. At least not as planned. Are there unintended consequences from it? You better believe it. There will be. There will be unintended consequences. I want to get this in if I rather, well, go ahead and play the, we'll keep the theme going here in the final few moments. Go ahead and play the beginning of this clip. This will be clip 6, HagmanPI.com.
Biolabs were established by the United States under Barack Obama, Dick Lugar in 2007. They have grown exponentially ever since. They were developing pathogens, diseases, and a lot of the legal documentation that I've seen. I've seen the Pentagon documents. I've seen the slides. I've seen the implications that the USAID, CIA, the Clinton, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, the Soros Organization, the Open Society Foundation, all of these big foundations that were globalist, Bill Gates's Project 201, the Russians have all of the documentation and the fingerprints and their participation in this and their funding this, as well as Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and a variety of other groups that were in Ukraine using all of this research to then send back to Fort Detrick that found its way in Wuhan. So all of this originated in Ukraine.
I guess I goofed there, but you know what? It's good to hear it again, at least isolated in that fashion. The fact that the Russians knew about these biolabs in Ukraine a year and a half before going into Ukraine. You've got the CIA, the Western intelligence community involvement in these color revolutions, whether, again, the countries I mentioned, Ukraine, the Maidan revolution. You've got the IC communities, the Five Eyes, and really all of the intelligence communities involved in restructuring power across the globe for what? Involved in creating these biolabs for what? The bottom line here is depopulation. So when you go back, I take you back again. You go back over the last 3 years. What's happened? They're making up for lost time. What lost time? 9/11. What happened there? Was there some cover-up of some funding? Absolutely. But what about the depopulation from 9/11? Was that enough? No, they needed more. And they continued and are continuing and are continuing. The same people or the same families are involved in the depopulation agenda known as 2030 that has been expedited into really 2025. You've got the Pentagon, same playbook, different faces, announcing, whoops, accounting error, and then funding for the Wagner Group. Meanwhile, the UK is providing the logistical support. Didn't work out that well, or did it? Again, unintended consequences. And then you've got the best of the best, right? The Scott Ritters of the world providing analysis. Is his analysis bad? Not necessarily. I'm not sure about his home life, but his analyses, not bad. Folks, if you like what you hear, please tell others about this show, The Hagman Report. Hopefully we'll be back tomorrow in living color. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great day.